Prince Harry's memoir, Spare, is out now, and it has become the UK's fastest-selling nonfiction book ever. The publisher says it's sold 400,000 copies so far, and it currently ranks as the bestseller on Amazon's UK, US, Australian, German, and Canadian websites. With us to talk about all this, professor of history at Syracuse University, British historian Alan Allport, born in the UK. And so, professor, you know that the royals do thrive on publicity, but not really this kind.
No, that's correct. I mean, modern royalty does thrive on publicity. The whole justification for modern royalty is to be visible, to be symbolic of the nation in some ways. The problem, of course, is that it's one thing to have publicity, but it's another thing to be able to control the flow of information. It used to be a lot easier when there was a lot more deference in the press and in the media about what Buckingham Palace wanted and didn't want. Nowadays, of course, the gloves are off, and so people feel free to publish pretty much whatever they want. And also, of course, individual members of the royal family also showed a lot more reticence in the past than they used to do. I mean, there have been lots of unhappy people. Harry's great aunt, Princess Margaret, of course, you know, famously wasn't allowed to marry the man that she wanted to marry, and seems to have had a pretty difficult life, but she kept things very much to herself. Harry has taken a different course.
When did it turn ugly in the British press? We hear all about the tabloids we have for a long time. Was it always that way?
Well, I mean, certainly, I think the watershed moment was probably with Diana and the kind of way in which her relationship with King Charles, as he now is, fell apart during the 1980s. I think, I mean, one of the things about Princess Diana was, of course, that she was a master user of the press, as well as to some extent as a victim of the press. And so she was able to mobilize her own, the fascination that millions of people around the world had for her, to be able to get her own message across. There are still plenty of very sympathetic royal journalists, I think, who are willing to plant stories that are favorable to the king and to Buckingham Palace's point of view. But people absolutely lap up this stuff. It's, as you just mentioned, you know, this book has immediately become a bestseller. So without that informal kind of restraint that the press might have had maybe 40 years ago, it's a lot more complicated now for the palace to be able to control the narrative.
What are you hearing from your friends and contacts in the UK about the reaction? Are regular folks, rank and file, what seems to be the response over there?
Well, it's funny. I read an article yesterday which said that 81% of people in the UK insist that they are completely uninterested in the story. Now, that may or may not be true. I'm not sure. I mean, I suppose that's still 20% of people who presumably then are interested, and that's an awful lot of people who can buy books. But I have the feeling that, I mean, this book is extraordinarily frank, much more so than any previous publication by a very close member of the royal family. And I think the thing that's fascinating about it is that the royals are, it's kind of contradictory, isn't it? On the one hand, that they live a life which is completely different from that of the rest of us. You know, they ride around in golden coaches and eat food off silver platters and live in palaces and things like that. But on the other hand, it's all completely relatable because they have the same kind of messed up dysfunctional families that we all have. They have, you know, parents who divorce, they have sons who don't get on with their parents, brothers that don't get on with one another, and so on. So I think the taste for this seems to be insatiable. Certainly the press in the UK for the last, well, I mean, the last few days, of course, it's all been about the book, but I mean the near obsession that there's been with Harry and Meghan has been going on for years now, and one assumes that the, you know, the owners of the Daily Mail and other these other tabloid newspapers know what their readers want, and what they seem to want is just more and more stories about the royal family. So I can't see this going away anytime soon.
Harry, growing up, certainly had a strange life, didn't he?
He had an extraordinarily strange life. I mean, if you think about it, you know, presidents become famous, but they start, most of them start off having relatively normal lives. Harry has been world famous ever since he was born, even before he was born. He's never had a life which could be described as being normal. And actually, some of the excerpts from the book are quite poignant, actually, you know, where he talks about what it's like to live this strange kind of goldfish life in which, you know, billions of people are looking on you all the time, in which you can't do anything normal. He talks about never having spare change in his pocket or carrying money, never owning a car or a house, never going on public transport, a bus or a train or anything like that, in the same way that the other soldiers who he served with in the army, or the students who he went to at university, of course, you know, they take all these things for granted. I think we often, you know, all of us, I suppose, from time to time might think, sit back and think, wouldn't it be wonderful to be a member of this, you know, incredibly privileged, incredibly famous family? Thinking, but remembering, of course, or forgetting, of course, that, you know, we wouldn't want to do it at the end of the day. We'd want to switch off and live our normal lives. But, of course, they can never do that. Harry is going to be famous, whether he likes it or not, forever. And mm-hmm. He's never going to live a normal life. And I think that, you know, one of the things that comes across in this book is actually quite a lot of sadness about that it's not a path that he chose, but he's stuck with it, for better or worse.
British historian Alan Allport in Syracuse, I thank you for speaking with a commoner like me, Professor.
Well, I'm just a commoner too, believe me.
Have a good day.
It was a pleasure. Thank you. Bye-bye.